This morning is a special day. Not only because we're in church and we're in the house of God and we're praising Him and we're seeing great things, but this is a special day for a family, and it's a family that we all know, and it's the Roldan family. And this morning, the Roldan family are dedicating their fourth child to the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing. And I asked Jonathan and Teresa if you would take these two front seats and grab Axton if you can from grandmother there. Just take a seat. Don't worry, you're not in trial or anything. But today's a very special day. I want to start with a scripture verse in Deuteronomy 6 and 4 through 7. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." This commandment was for the Israelites, but it's also for us as parents today. I'm not a parent, I'm sorry. For you parents today, to love God. And as parents, if you truly want your child to one day love and follow God, this we all know, your lives must be an example. Second thing that Deuteronomy makes clear is that the duty of teaching children and your children belongs to the parents. The church can provide weekly things, and we have curriculum, and we teach the children and try to bring them up in discipleship, and those things are wonderful, and we want to do that. But it's the parents who have the main responsibility. It's the parents who sees the teachable moments, sporting events for your boys, maybe sitting at home, dinner time, nap time, going to bed. Those are the moments that the church cannot provide. It's the parents. And parents must seize the teachable moments that arise throughout these instances or lives. And like in verse 7 in Deuteronomy 6, when you lay them down asleep at meal times and before bed, I encourage you to continue. Read them Bible stories or devotions. Say prayers before dinner time and before they go to bed. And always doing things as a family together. And you guys do that. Give them practical ideas that they can put into their daily routines. Give them dreams. Give them encouragement. Disciple them. Correct them. Discipline them. But show them that they are valuable to God and to you. Proverbs 17:6 says that grandchildren are a crown to the aged and parents are the pride of children. And this morning we have Flossie and Karen here, two wonderful grandmothers who have a lot of grandkids. And they're here this morning. And we know that you are proud of your grandkids, and you're also proud of your kids' parents, Jonathan and Teresa. And we as a church trust the step that you two are taking today will make Axton one day proud of your actions when he grows into a wonderful young man. Children are a gift from God. And in Psalm 127:3, it says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him." As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. God in His goodness gives children as gifts to parents. And they know not only have the great responsibility of caring for this gift that God has given them, but the wonderful privilege of enjoying this gift that God has given them. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate to give the child back to God as a dedication. In 1 Samuel 1, Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. And in Luke 2:22, we know that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple in order to present him before the Lord. And in the same way, Jonathan and Teresa today bring their son Axton, presenting first themselves and then their son before the Lord our God. I want to say this scripture verse again. Deuteronomy 6:4-7. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you today are to be put upon your hearts, to impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So God makes it pretty clear how to raise children. And what a great example you two have shown this church. Personally, stepping back and observing things, you guys have shown that. And so at this time, I want to ask Jonathan and Teresa to please come up. Jonathan and Teresa, by coming forward before God and His people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your son Axton to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and His people. Teresa, I want to ask you to give Axton to you, Jonathan. The Bible says that the man in the marriage is the spiritual headship. Someone should hold him. And so that Axton may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers, do you, Jonathan and Teresa, vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide Axton a Christian home of love and peace, to raise him in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline and disciple, and to encourage him to one day trust Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord? If you agree with that, say we do.
We do.
Okay. Finally, I ask that the church make a vow as well. As believers in the body of Christ, we have responsibility to teach the gospel story to our younger generation, not just the role it is, but all children that come through these doors. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Joel commands us to tell God's work to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children tell it to the next generation. So I direct my question now to the congregation. Being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourself to be the children of God because of your trust in Christ Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, everyone please respond by saying, "We do." I will now take the child and dedicate Axton to the Lord. I ask everyone to please extend your hand, and we will all pray together for this child. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence, Lord, in this special place. And right now, I pray for Jonathan and Teresa and this wonderful family. Oh God, I pray right now that you give them the strength, the spiritual guidance. You teach them what they have been taught, and the instruction is from you, O God. Now I pray for Axton, O Lord. I pray that you give him good health. Lord, I pray, Lord, that in situations, Lord, I pray that you give him healing whenever he's sick. I pray you give him comfort, Lord. And I pray as he grows as a child and grows into a young boy and eventually to a man, O God, that you encourage him and be with him, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give them prosperous health and guidance during this time. Lord, I pray that you use us as a church to build him up every time we see him, Lord. I pray that we encourage him and support him during these times, Lord. Remind us of the value of who he is to you, Lord, because we are all valuable to you. Lord, the scripture says that you knew who we are before we were even born. You know Axton, Lord. And I pray right now that through the proper training, Lord, that he relies on you alone. Lord, I pray when he grows, you give him a hunger for you, O God, and that he impacts the kingdom, Lord, and builds the kingdom in whatever plans you have for him. I pray that he directs his eyes on you, Lord, and may you bless him in his life. I ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We love and value all of our children here. And it's a blessing and joy personally for me, because that was, as a pastor, that was my first child to dedicate to the Lord. And we love this family very much, and for all the serving that they do in this church. Yes. And we love Axton, and we love Easton and Riley and Zayden, all of our kids. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started into our sermon at this time. We'll go ahead and start Children's Church for the kids. And as a church, we have began and got through 1 week of fasting. Yeah, that's good. It's a good thing. And the great thing is, all of y'all came back. That's good. You guys look good. You all stood up and walked in and smiles on your faces. But in all seriousness, this is great because many of you, this was a big step of faith. Many of you, this is the first time you've ever fasted something or done the Daniel fast or fasted meal or meals. And it's new to you and it still may be kind of a shock. Well, we're going to gather together in this sermon. We're going to talk about things. I want to encourage you that you're doing the right thing and we can stay the course. For some of you, this was a detox of week one. What do I mean by detox? That means you're cleaning out your system. A lot of you have seen that physically, but it's also spiritually. Many of you have realized that you've had a routine or something that you like to do. You've substituted that for spending time with God, and your spiritual walk has grown tremendously. I've talked to you. You've shared that with me. I want to encourage you to keep it up. God wants more of you, always. So draw closer to Him. So you're cleaning out your system physically and spiritually. Now it's time. You think you can do this. You got through week one, right? Some of you realize that it's much harder than you thought it would be. And it was a big struggle. Some of you have probably had desperate moments. Moments where you had to rely on God because you had no comfort food or whatever you're fasting to go to. That's what the fast is all about. You're denying your flesh. You're saying, no, devil, I'm not giving into it. You're being tempted. You're overcoming temptation through those times, and you're drawing closer to God. It's a wonderful thing. Easy? No. But it's a wonderful thing. I know some of you are tempted because I got some words that people were tempted. I got a text midweek. I won't say who it was. And they said, help, I'm at a work party, and they're serving Texas barbecue. What do I do? So I thought it was pretty funny. And I gave them some encouragement and said to stick with it. Stay the course. It's going to be all right. You can get through this. Maybe you should leave the room. Maybe you should go home. I don't know. But don't eat the Texas barbecue until February. And so I thought it was funny. So I went home, you know. And then it was Wednesday. So I said, you know what? I'm going to be a good pastor. And I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to get some fruit and vegetables. I didn't get vegetables. I forgot that. I just now realized that. Anyway, I was going to get some fruit and planning on getting vegetables. So I went to the grocery store because I knew that, you know, people doing the Daniel fast, you see, you know, church, people bring stuff, eat in there. And so I walk in, and I wasn't ready. I look, and there's all these cut steaks, you know. Top prime, kept walking. Went through the other aisle, more food. Went to the next aisle, a lot of sugary stuff. Went to the next aisle, soda. Oh Lord, where is the fruit? And then I got to the aisle with all the coffee. Now you guys know I love coffee. And it was tough. And I almost had a breakdown, almost. And I almost started praying in the spirit on aisle 7, but I didn't do it. I stopped, I said, I'm not gonna do this. I wanted to grab that bag of coffee grains and start eating them. That's how bad I wanted it, okay? Well, maybe not that bad. But I was tempted. Then I go to check out, and I see all these Snicker bars. And just before I go out the door, I see these handmade cakes. Oh, Lord, get me through this day. So I got through it, came to church, sat down, trying to get everything ready for Wednesday night, and here comes the pizza man. Walking through those doors with that fresh aroma of CC's. Okay, it's going to be all right. Then I got a text, a group text from some friends. I told you guys, people start wanting to hang out whenever you're fasting. Want to start going to restaurants. See, it happened. Hey, let's go hang out as a group. Okay. I said, where do you guys want to go? So they told me. I said, well, I don't know where it's at. It's somewhere in Fort Worth. They send this picture of it, and it's the juiciest burger I've ever seen in my life. And I'm just thinking, I don't know.
Lord, I don't know if I want to go to this restaurant. I mean, it was so great. I wanted to eat my phone. It was so great. The picture was just unbelievable, you know? You know how it is. You're fasting. You know the pain, right? But I said, no, I want to do this, man. I'm going to walk into that burger joint, and I'm going to get me a salad with nothing on it, and I'm going to get through this. So we go through, you know, and we're waiting in line, and, you know, the smell of food and everything, and I can't believe it, but he's got a master's degree in divinity, so he knows right. He said, what are you going to get? So I'm going to get a salad. He said, salad? What are you getting a salad for? Get a burger. I said, I can't. I'm on a Daniel fast. He said, Daniel's not here. I almost said, get behind me, Satan. I got my salad. So that's my story this week. I'm sure you have stories as well. I'd like to also share a couple of stories I got from Wednesday night I want to encourage you with. One of them is somebody who's in this church, and she was at work. She works at a hospital, and she's on the Daniel fast, and she's eating her fruits and vegetables, and her coworkers noticed that she wasn't doing that. They wouldn't eat with her the normal food that she would eat with them, or, you know, they noticed something was different. Why are you eating fruit and vegetables? She took that time to tell her what she's doing. She said, I'm doing a fast. We're doing a church fast for 3 weeks. So she didn't really think a whole lot about it, and she said by midweek, her four coworkers said, we want to join you. We want to do this too. She said, okay. She said, well, what do you do? She said, well, during the times of fasting, during the times of eating, you devote that time to God. I said, we don't know how to do that. She said, let me show you. She said, start reading the book of John. Start praying. She started giving them the instructions of how to draw closer to God. Amen. Folks, that's big.
Yes.
Amen.
Just like that, now we have four more coworkers through one person sharing the gospel through fasting. Even in times where we're trying to personally grow, we're ministering to others. It's a beautiful thing. You're probably going to have those moments in your time as well, in your workplace. I want to encourage you just to simply share that. It's an awesome thing. So last week we talked about the four points of fasting. And the first one we talked about is that fasting is a direct line to God. You've noticed now that you've had during your time distractions. I've noticed that. I've noticed in my personal life that there's a lot of distractions, a lot of things going on. But when you fast, you turn those things off. During those times of fasting, when you have that direct line to God, I want you to pray and pray hard and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. You can sing that song as much as you want. Get into that time of prayer. God welcomes it. He wants you to be in that time of prayer. Focus, focus, focus on Him. The enemy is not happy with you. That is for sure. The enemy is upset. Why? Because you're getting closer to God, and you're getting farther away from how He used to have you. For some of you, the devil has had control in your life, and now that control is fading away from Him. He's not happy. So I want to encourage you and also warn you that the enemy, if not already, is going to attack you. And the verse that comes to mind is in Ephesians 6. And all of you pretty much know this. If you do not, I want you to really maybe write it down or maybe read this during your prayer time. And Paul says in verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
And then he concludes, pray for me whenever I speak, that the words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So we know where Paul's at. We know what Paul's talking about. But I want you now to stand firm because the devil is coming. The devil's going to do whatever it takes to try to get you off your fast. Because right now you're getting closer to God. He wants you to stay away from God. I want to put this image up right here. This is just some of you like me, you like an imagery of things. I want you to look at this soldier here and look at the scripture verses. Maybe you want to take a picture of it, that's okay too. But you see each piece of armor that he has and the sword. Each thing he needs. What comes to mind is the movie Braveheart, which many of you have seen. But the flaming arrows came to mind because you saw where they would shoot those arrows up. And as they were up in the air, the arrows were turning and moving. Well, you couldn't dodge those arrows if they're coming everywhere, right? You couldn't know where they were going because of the arrows moving here and there. That's what the enemy does. He distorts things. He twists things. He moves things to try to get you off track. But when you have the shield of faith, you can block those arrows. When you have the belt of truth, you can stop it. You know what to do and say. When you have the sword of the Spirit, you can attack and cut away things out of your life and to minister to others. And when you are in God, just like last week in the Holy Spirit series, you have peace. God gives you peace during that time. You have righteousness, you have salvation, and you have to have those pieces in order to fight the battle. Some people can fast without being spiritual. I don't know how, to be honest with you. But I don't know about you, but for me, I got to have it. I have to have the armor of God. I encourage you to as well. You got to be ready for the fight because the enemy's going to fight if he hasn't already. He's fought me. He's trying to take me out. I'm not afraid to admit it. Boy, that would be awesome if they took the preacher man out and he cheated on his fast, right? But you got to be prepared. You got to be strong and stand firm. The second thing is when we pray, we have to pray hard, we have to worship, we have to read God's word, and we have to repeat that. Why? Develop that armor. Last week I shared if you don't have a prayer list, start with praising the Lord and writing down things that come to your mind to pray about. The Bible makes it clear to pray and to pray all the time. We just read a scripture verse about that. And two scriptures that are also very familiar that I want you guys, encourage you to look over and meditate during this time of fasting. First one's in Philippians 4. Let's go to verse 4, Reuben. Simply says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Verse 6, here it is. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the what? Peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I encourage you to memorize that verse. I encourage you to memorize that verse during your fasting, if you haven't already. Because there's going to be times where you're going to get anxious. You may be praying about a prayer request or a prayer need that you've been praying for and praying hard. I want to encourage you right now to pray and be anxious for anything. Do not be anxious at all. You need to pray for your family, pray for your kids, pray for your enemies. Jesus said to do that. Pray for the church. Pray for this community. Pray for anything that comes to mind. God will help you. Write them down. We also have a week of prayer resource at the table. It's free. You can have it. It gives you each day things that you can pray about. I took one. It's wonderful. We also have resources that we shared with you. We have our daily bread. That's also on the table. We also have in your bulletin a resource that you can look for Bible apps that will help your walk.
Praying is a good thing.
Yes.
We have to pray to keep the fast going. We have to give it up to God to keep it going. We have to decrease and let God increase during this fast. Some of you have already seen breakthrough. Some of you have already seen great things happen. Some of you have already been lifted up to a new level spiritually, where your faith is so great and you've been pushed, you were bent, but you didn't break. And you say, wow, through perseverance during this time, I've gotten stronger in God. I've gotten better. I can do this through Christ. Amen. I don't have to worry anymore, because now I see through fasting that I'm weak and it's hard and it's overwhelming. But if I give it to God and I just lay it out desperate and say, Lord, here I am, come meet me, He meets you. Amen. Some of you in your Christian walk, it's been tremendous. I don't want you to stop. I want you to keep going. You never can be too close to God, ever. I heard an interview years ago from Billy Graham during his last years of life. And they said, what was one of your biggest regrets? And he said, not being close enough to God. Now, here's an evangelist who reached millions. Now, he did it all for the glory of God. But he was a very righteous man. And that was his answer, to be closer to God. You never can be close enough to God, ever. I encourage you to be closer. Get closer. Get to another level. You can look at it as training or physical training, whatever you may be. You know how trainers are. They teach you. They push you beyond level. There's some sports athletes or former sports athletes in here. You know how it is, where the coach pushes you, and you get mad, you know? But you look back and go, that made me tougher. That made me stronger. That made me healthier. That made me better. I love you guys. I'm not trying to push you and discourage you. I want to encourage you that it's a good thing. Maybe you want to read scripture verses that the devotionals that you're looking at. Maybe you want to memorize some verses. There's resources everywhere to do that. This next week, I want to encourage you guys to push yourselves. Maybe you've never memorized a verse before. Maybe you've never took a step of faith and ministered to somebody. Maybe you've heard some voices, a soft whisper that said, go minister to somebody, but you haven't done it. Maybe it's time. Whatever it may be, you know your situations, you know your life personally. I want to encourage you, take that step. Take it. Because fasting is working in this church, and it's a wonderful thing. But we have to stay focused directly to God, and we have to be in prayer and scripture reading, and we have to be able to continue that throughout these next 3 weeks. Final scripture. And you can memorize this one right now. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. 17. Pray continually. And in 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Reuben, could you take that back to 16? Let's say that together. Verse 16, you ready? Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray continually. And 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's got a plan for your life. God wants you to move for Him. God loves you. He cares about you. You may be struggling right now with some sin or addiction. I want to let you know that God wants to meet you. God wants you to come to Him. Don't ever think that God wants you to go away. After all the things that Jesus did, why would He want you to go away? The sacrifice He made, He has always said, come to me. That may be you. I want to encourage you to take this fast. Say, Lord, here I am. Forgive me. Make me clean. Wash me white as snow. Give me a start over. And then you start fasting. See how God will change your life. Some of you may have some struggles, maybe some addictions. Hey, listen, I realize I had an addiction. You know what it's to? Coffee. I was writing these things down to fast, and the Lord said, coffee. I said, what? Coffee? Why coffee? Everybody else drinks it. And I kept hearing coffee, give up. So I gave up coffee. I was hooked. I had headaches for almost a week. But I realized that, okay, yeah, it's not a drug, But it is something that I relied on. And so that was just personal to me. I'm not telling you guys you're sinning for drinking coffee, because, you know, a billion Christians would be sinning, right? I'm just saying I was relying on that. And it was a distraction. I didn't know that until I started fasting. What about you? If those things are on your mind or your heart right now, I want you to give those up this week. If there's something that you've realized that you've relied on, I want you to give those up. I want you to say, Lord, I'm going to give this up. It's going to be hard, but I'm telling you, it will be worth it. And in verse 23, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage that with you as well this week. Great things are happening. Some of you look pretty hungry. I understand. Some of you look a little tired and weary. I understand. But good things are going to happen. I know it. Because they already are. I want you to also pray for this church. Because we're seeing some great things happening in this church. But we want to make sure that we're doing everything for God. We want to make sure we're doing it right, humbly, wholeheartedly, and doing what He wants, not what we want. Would you please stand in closing?